He's alive. He is risen. Oh, sounded a little sleepy. Try it once more. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, that's better. Thank you. All right. This morning, the message that I have is Joys of Resurrection. I'm not seeing anything up here, Josh. Joys of Resurrection. I had to think while the song was playing there at the end of the service this morning. What did that do for Peter to see the risen Lord? What does it do for me to see the risen Lord? Have I seen him? Do I know that he's alive? Do I know that he's a Savior? The projector's not on at all, I don't think. Let's see if it... Check it here real quick. It's on up here. Okay, well, there it comes. On here, but not on the projector. Projector's not doing anything. It's not, there's not even a light on in under it. Might have to turn power. Yeah, might have to turn power on. Okay, let's just ask ourselves a couple of questions. What is there about the resurrection that's so important? Why does resurrection bring joy? There it's coming. Why does resurrection bring joy? What do you think? Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is one of the most joyous times of the year for us. Why does resurrection bring us joy? Okay, hope. That's a key word. What's another?
Life.
Life and hope. Those are some key reasons why resurrection brings joy. Got to get it working there. It's not going ahead. Who needs resurrection? Everybody, right? Everybody needs resurrection. How does resurrection affect my everyday existence? Here's a good question. Tuesday morning, you go to work. How is the resurrection going to affect your day at work? How does the resurrection affect me every day? Or is it just something that's a good thing to celebrate once a year and, you know, make it a special occasion, have a special service, wear special clothes, all that kind of thing? Is that good enough? What happens with the resurrection? And then one of the key questions is, how does the resurrection affect the afterlife? That's an important question for us to consider as well. Because not only does the resurrection affect us now, but it affects us throughout eternity in one way or the other. Either we experience resurrection life with Jesus Christ, and we're raised to newness of life with Him, or we refuse resurrection life, and we experience eternity apart from Christ. That's important. Jesus is the resurrection. And I want us to make this connection. It's something that's kind of a cliche. It's kind of something that we know. But I want us to stop and think about it this morning. Jesus is the resurrection. He said that to Mary. I am the resurrection, John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus is the resurrection. He did not just resurrect. He is the resurrection and the life. And without him, there is no resurrection. Without him, there is no life. No real life. No hope. And Paul talks about that, how it's hopeless without Christ. So I want us to get that as a key point. Now there's a number of things that I want us to look at this morning that are joys of the resurrection. Brokenness to wholeness. This is David back in Psalm 51. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. That's because of resurrection. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood and his forgiveness, we can experience wholeness out of brokenness. That's a joy. What would it feel like? Art, you were laying there in the hospital, just came through surgery. What would it have felt like if you'd have felt like you were going to be like that the rest of your life? Felt hopeless, wouldn't it? Felt miserable. You'd have wished you could just die, because what's the point? We look to Christ, and it's a joy that we can look to him to bring us from brokenness to wholeness, to restoration in our spirit, in our soul. We look to the Lord and we rejoice because, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 51:11, it's interesting, I don't have a lot of verses from Isaiah, but Isaiah talks a lot about joy. And one of the reasons he does that is because he sees Christ in some amazing ways. But here's what he says in 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing into Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Sounds like a lot of joy to me, doesn't it to you? That's what God is offering through resurrection. He's talking to the children of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, and he's talking about all the horrible things that are happening with them and how God is dealing with them, but he's talking about resurrection, new life, opportunity, hope, change. From mourning to joy. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Life is often filled with sadness. We face discouragements. We face difficulties. We face tough times. We face sickness. We face death. We face all kinds of things in life. If there was no hope, those things would drag us down. They'd bring us to a place of despair and desperation. But he's saying, he's offering to those that mourn joy. He's offering beauty for ashes. This is the joy of the resurrection, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We are able to come to him and receive joy in place of mourning. We're able to receive wholeness in place of brokenness. And we're also able to receive joy in place of shame or confusion. Isaiah 61:7. For your shame ye shall have double. Oh, ouch. That doesn't sound good, does it? Shame is bad enough, but you're going to have double. For confusion, they'll rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Well, it wasn't quite what the way we thought we were reading it at first, was it? The shame isn't double. He's talking about double joy that's going to come. So he's saying, okay, here's shame, here's confusion, here's these things that frustrate us in life, here's the things that cause us despair and cause us to give up hope. He's offering to double the joy in place of those things. I want to sometime speak on this subject of shame. It's an interesting subject. And I would dare say that many of us here live under the shadow of shame in our lives. Resurrection brings us joy because it brings us out from under the shadow of that shame. It brings us out from the darkness and the grip of confusion. Resurrection brings us life. It brings us hope. It brings us opportunity. It brings us new beauty. This is one of the joys. I said I didn't have a lot of them from Isaiah, but there's so many more here. Isaiah 61 verse 10, where he talks about, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You see what he's saying? He's saying there's beauty that God offers for our lives. And the beauty is in the resurrection. We lived because of being humans. We lived under the shadow and the power of death and sin. But because of the resurrection, because of Jesus, the resurrection and the life, we can be free from that. And so there's beauty for ashes. There's hope. There's life. There's joy that comes in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and through the power of His resurrection. There's a new name, Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. It's interesting, isn't it, how many of these come from Old Testament prophets before Christ came. And they're talking about things that are going to happen. Now many of these have double meaning. They're talking about things that will happen to the people of Israel, but they're also talking about spiritual truth for us today. And this is what Jeremiah says, Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I'm called by God's name. How does that happen? Resurrection power gives us the opportunity and the right to be called what of God? Sons. So if we're sons, we get His name, right? So we're called by the new name, the name of God, because of resurrection power. That's a joy. You remember Jacob, the deceiver, the one whose name described who he was, the deceiver. But when he met God face to face and wrestled with God and experienced a change, a resurrection power in his life, he was no longer Jacob. He was Israel. Prince of God. He had gotten a name from God. He was a son of God. And you and I, when we experience the power of resurrection in our lives, we become sons of God. We get that new name. That's a joy. That's a privilege. I don't know what it must have been like for Jacob. What would you feel like if every time somebody called you by name, it reminded you of what you are? Be kind of tough, wouldn't it? But all of a sudden, Jacob hears, you're no longer Jacob. You're Israel. You're a prince of God. What a joy resurrection brings to us as we experience the reality that we are sons of God. When are we sons of God? In heaven? Yeah, we'll be that there too, but what are we now? Now are we the sons of God. Now. So we experience joy in resurrection in the new name. We can have living above the circumstances joy. I looked at this verse a few messages back in looking at circumstances as a joy robber. But here's Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Always an interesting couple of verses. Although the fig tree will not blossom, bad circumstances, right? Neither shall fruit be in the vines. Real bad circumstances. That means nothing to eat or drink, or nothing to sell. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the field. Circumstances are going from bad to worse, right? I mean, even the herds died. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Resurrection in Jesus Christ is a joy to rise above all circumstances of life. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, in the God of my resurrection, in the God of my redemption, my deliverance. It's a chill bump joy. I had to think about this. Matthew chapter 28. Look at what it says. They departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. I don't know this, but I can kind of imagine that when they looked in there and saw that the tomb was empty and the grave clothes were laying there folded neatly, which was obvious that someone had not stolen him, I think they got chill bumps. Lots of them. I think the resurrection, when we stop and we think, just like the song again, when we stop and we think, even though I've denied Him, even though I've been ashamed of Him, even though I haven't always done His will in my life, He's alive and I'm forgiven. Awesome. When we stop and we think on that, it ought to give us that chill bump joy. There's a kingdom change. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's through the resurrection that happens. God has changed His kingdom. He has changed His covenant. We just talked about that. Dana just talked about that a bit. The change of the covenant. God has done that. So there's a kingdom change. We receive joy. And when you look back into Acts there and what was going on in the early church, they were happy that they did not have to live under the old covenant, under the old law anymore. There was joy in resurrection. Hope, joy, peace. Romans 15, verse 13. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Love, joy, hope, peace. So many blessings that come to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those things give us joy. They fill us with joy. We have a living hope that we receive through the resurrection in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And beyond that, not only do we have a hope, but we have an inheritance. We receive as sons to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's now. We have it. It's ours. We need to live in it. We need to walk in it. We need to share that hope day by day with the world around us. Lastly, I want us to notice this morning that we have eternal joy. This scripture really speaks to my heart. It really blesses my heart. Jude, verse 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The joy is His and the joy is ours. Can you imagine what kind of joy that will be to stand before God and for God to say, "You are blameless"? I can hardly imagine that. But it's by the power of the resurrection. It's through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless to His Father with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Joys of the resurrection. Resurrection fills our lives with joy. If we're not experiencing joy, maybe we need to stop and look. Have we been resurrected with Christ? Have we died with Christ and been resurrected with Him and experiencing the joys of His resurrection? Let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we thank You. We thank You for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, our resurrection, our life. We thank You that He is alive, and that we are forgiven, and that we have this opportunity. Lord, we've looked this morning at a number of joys that are because of the resurrection, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, the One who is the resurrection and the life. And Lord, we ask that You just continue to speak to our hearts by Your Spirit. Continue to work Your work in us. And help us, Lord, to walk in the resurrection, in the reality of this truth and of this fact. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.